Sunday the 29th of October 2017, 10:45 service. Sermon series, Rivers of Love. Sermon title, Finding Our Way. Bible reading, Joshua chapter 3, verses 1 to 6, and then 14 to 17. And our talk is by Bob Crowther.
The reading comes from Joshua 3, verses 1 to 6 and 14 to 17. Crossing the Jordan. Early in the morning, Joshua and all the Israelites set out from Shittim and went to the Jordan, where they camped before crossing over. After 3 days, the officers went throughout the camp, giving orders to the people. When you see the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord your God and the priests who are Levites carrying it, you are to move out from your positions and follow it. Then you will know which way to go, since you have never been this way before. But keep a distance of about 1,000 yards between you and the ark. Do not go near it. Joshua told the people, consecrate yourselves, for tomorrow the Lord will do amazing things among you. Joshua said to the priests, take up the Ark of the Covenant and pass on ahead of the people. So they took it up and went ahead of them. Now we go to 14. So when the people broke camp to cross the Jordan, the priests carrying the Ark of the Covenant went ahead of them. Now the Jordan is in flood all during harvest. Yet as soon as the priests who carried the ark reached the Jordan and their feet touched the water's edge, the water from the upstream stopped flowing. It piled up in a heap of a great distance away at a town called Adam in the vicinity of Zarethan, while the water flowing down to the sea of the Arab, the Salt Sea, was completely cut off. So the people crossed over the opposite Jericho. The priests who carried the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord stood on dry ground in the middle of the Jordan while all Israel passed by until the whole nation had completed the crossing on dry land. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks, Julie. Gideon and I make a right pair, don't we? We've got a worship leader who's not able to sing and a preacher who's not really able to talk at the moment, but I'm sure we'll get through this. I said to Graham, I'll use this. If I need to suddenly burst into cough or something, that means I can move away a bit easier. Okay, can you hear me okay? Good stuff. Okay, so today we continue our sermon series called Rivers of Love, throughout which we keep in mind the concept that God's love and spirit are like a river that flows through the world, our lives, and indeed through our very bodies. And Jesus, of course, told the Samaritan woman at the well that if she drank from living water, she would never be thirsty again. You can read about that in John chapter 4. And then Jesus says this again, this time in John 7. And he tells this to the crowd. If anyone is thirsty, let him come to me and drink. Whoever believes in me, as scripture has said, streams of living water will flow within him. And then, just in case the reader doesn't quite understand what Jesus means, John very helpfully follows this up with an explanation. This is in verse 39. By this, he meant the Spirit, whom those who believed in him were later to receive. So this morning, we walk with the Israelites and we encounter an actual river. This is a wide, rapid and dangerous river, but it does need to be crossed. I'm sure that over the years we'll have all encountered our own metaphorical rivers that needed to be crossed. And if you can remember Jimmy Cliff and later on UB40, they reminded us there are many rivers to cross. The rest of the song goes, but I can't seem to find my way over But Joshua had to find a way over. He had to find a way to cross over, to lead God's chosen people to their promised land. And in that same way, we have to find a way across those fast-flowing rivers that we sometimes come upon in our lives, so that when we face that challenge, when we find that raging torrent in front of us, we've prepared ourselves enough to give us every possible opportunity to cross to the other side. How are you going to find your way across? Well, as always today, we'll start with a little bit of context around the passage. Moses has led the Israelites out of Egypt with the promise that God would deliver them to their own land. They finally arrived at Mount Nebo, and from there, Moses can even see the promised land. But God's made another promise, and that is that Moses will see this land, but he won't enter it. And Moses dies shortly after his experience on Mount Nebo. But before his death, he appoints Joshua as his successor. And he gives Joshua these following words of encouragement. Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid. For the Lord your God goes with you. He will never leave you or forsake you. Let's just take a moment to reflect on how often that instruction flows through the Bible. Isaiah, Psalms, Proverbs, Deuteronomy, Matthew, Mark, Paul's letters, Peter, right through to Revelation. Do not be afraid. The Lord your God is with you. And so it proves to the nomadic Israelites, as they cross the Jordan into the land that God has promised to them, his presence remains amongst them. Just as it is here with us today and even throughout our lives. So Joshua's the new leader of the Israelites, and he even gets his very own book in the Bible. And he also gets instructions from God. Guess what he's told? The Lord tells him to be strong and courageous. And he's told to lead his people across the Jordan into the promised land. And with some strict direction, you need to cross the Jordan. This is harvest season, and the Jordan's in full flow. This isn't just a case of lifting up his gown above his knees and straddling a stream. This involves getting a whole nation through a fast-flowing deep river. And so God gives Joshua some instructions, and Joshua passes those on to his people, and that's where we've arrived now in chapter 3, with those instructions being given to the people, which is what Julie just read out. Follow the Ark of the Covenant, that is God's presence amongst his people, amongst the Israelites, that the priests will be carrying. Be reassured, says God, that I am with you and will always be with you as I was with Moses. And as we heard from our reading, as soon as the priest's feet touch the water of the Jordan, it stops flowing. And as the priests stand in the middle of the riverbed, holding the ark, the very presence of God, the Israelites pass by them and finally safely across into their promised land. Now, Joshua was very new to the role of leader. Moses must have been a pretty tough act to follow. This is Moses, the man who stood up to Pharaoh, who demanded, "Let my people go." But Joshua had God as his mentor to prepare him for the journey, to help him to find the way to lead his people to the promised land. And we too need God's help to find our way. And that's what we're going to look at today. I've always tried to keep myself fairly active and fairly fit. And even now, I'd rather walk somewhere than get on a bus or onto a train. To me, half an hour walking across London is much more preferable than squeezing onto a sweaty tube train. And I guess as I get older, I need to try and do all I can to keep fit. I'm not a gym bunny like Martin is. He stands here with his muscles, but I do what I can. In my youth, I used to play a lot of cricket and rugby, ran a few marathons. I once even walked from Harrogate to London, but now I need to do something a little less strenuous. And I think that when I retire, which isn't so far away, I'll do a lot more walking, get out into the countryside a little bit more. But over the years, I've learnt one thing can't be skipped if you're going on a little bit of an expedition. You need to be prepared. You have to be prepared for the best, for the foreseeable things that might happen. Maybe a drink, some food. But you need to be prepared for the worst. For those things that you might not even have considered really going to occur. But you should be able to deal with them because you're well prepared. So if you imagine when you're going on a bit of a trip, what do you need to think about? What do you consider? First of all, you think about your destination. It's always a good start. You need to know where you're going. How are you going to get there? How will you know when you've arrived? What essentials do you need to take with you? It would be naive and, frankly, in some cases, irresponsible to set out without proper preparation. Just relying on good fortune to get you through your journey. I can tell you now, if you turn up to run a marathon wearing a pair of flip-flops, you're not properly prepared. But let's just stick with that walking analogy for a moment. Let's say I walk through the Lake District. How are you going to know where you are? It's a big place. You're going to be surrounded by sheep, trees and hills. Not sure about you, but to me, one sheep looks the same as any other. And I wouldn't rely on them to tell you where you are. They'll tell you you're in Bath or in Bali. I've still got it, even though I'm not well. You need a map. You need a map and a compass to find your way, to reassess where you are, to give you direction. You need to know how you're doing on your journey. And folks, I don't think you're going to need a map to know where this is leading. That's no different to our Christian journey. We need to know where we're going. We need a map to refer to. We need a compass. We need a guide. We need to assess and then reassess where we are on our journey. And we need to be prepared for unforeseen events, good or bad, so that we can continue our journey without too much disruption or hardship and keep to the right path. Because if you stray off the path, that's when you start to get lost. So let's just have a look at the physical hurdle that Joshua and his people face, the crossing of a large and fast-flowing river. God has told Joshua how this will happen and that his very presence will always be amongst them throughout this. But the people need to have faith and trust that God would be there beside them. This is a big, full river in full flow. And surely some of those Israelites would have expressed a little bit of doubt that they were going to be able to cross. But we're told the whole nation managed to cross to the other side, which must have been quite literally an enormous step of faith. But that's the choice that everyone is faced with today. Do we listen to the word of God? Do we take that step into the rapids, having faith that we're going to be kept dry, we'll be protected by him? Or do we choose to stay where we are, not wanting to change our ways, not wanting to make that journey, because it looks like no matter how much we're assured by God, it's going to be too difficult or too uncomfortable. We might even get our feet a little bit wet. So what do we have in our own spiritual backpack? Well, firstly, we have our objective, our plan. That's the place we want to get to. And it'd be very easy to say, well, that must be heaven, surely. We believe that death is not the end and that we're only passing through this earth in the hope that we will spend eternity with our Heavenly Father. But there are doubtless steps on the way to heaven, waypoints, if you like, to head for. And a more immediate destination might be the foot of the cross. To kneel at Jesus' feet, to accept him as our Savior, to dedicate our lives to him. After all, he tells us, he will be our ticket to heaven. No one's going to reach the Father except through him. So perhaps the cross should be our first destination to truly embrace Jesus as our Saviour. I'd just like you all to take a moment to reflect on where you are personally on your journey. Perhaps you're just setting out. You like the sound of this Jesus fellow. He sounds like he's a nice bloke. Clearly he said some sensible things, but do you really know him? Have you built a living relationship with him? And if not, what's stopping you? Is it fear that dedicating your life to Jesus will change you? That your friends are going to laugh at you? That somehow you're going to change, and let's be honest, you quite like the way you are. Don't be afraid to take that first step. Think back to our reading. As soon as the priests put their feet in the water, the river stopped. In fact, not even in verse 15, as soon as the priest's feet touched the water's edge, the water from upstream stopped flowing. If you haven't taken that first step towards knowing Jesus more, to entering into a living, loving relationship with him, please don't be afraid. Just dip your toe into the water's edge. Allow God to make an immediate impact on your life. But that's just the start of the journey. Some of you will feel you've taken that first step. If you like, you're well into crossing the river. You've got God by your side and you're strolling across that river. Great. Don't stop. You need to reach the other side. Don't get out your picnic basket and decide to rest in the middle of the riverbed, because that river's not going to be held back forever. Keep going. Keep building your relationship with Jesus, with God. Just keep going. St. Paul writes enough encouraging words about just that. Keep running the race, he says. Don't give up. Get yourself across the river by constantly building on your holy relationship. Study God's word. Reach out to him in prayer. Do something with the talents that God has given you. Be the person that you know God wants you to be. And stretch yourself. Never give up and keep going until you've crossed into the promised land. So if that's our plan, then what's our guide? What's our map? Well, I think it's pretty clear. Much of our guide is going to be the Bible. I have a rhetorical question and one for you to have some personal reflection later on. When did you last open your Bible at home? This morning? Yesterday morning? Last week? Last month? When did you last refer to your map? Perhaps you've not read your actual Bible. You've been doing other reflective studies such as daily Bible notes. Perhaps reading other Christian literature, listening to recordings of other speakers. Heck, there's enough recordings out there, and there's enough way of playing them, whether in the car or on the train or doing the housework or walking the dog. It's not really any excuse for not finding the time to study your map, to make sure you know you're still on track. Don't stray off the path. So you know where you're going? You have your guidebook and your compass. What else do you need? Well, I suggest you need some sustenance, some encouragement, something that's going to give you the desire to prepare for your journey, to take that first step and then to keep on going. Just a simple word or two of encouragement. Maybe a phone call from a friend. Perhaps not in church. Can make a real difference to our lives. When I stopped running in one of the London marathons and I slowed to a walk, I knew I was probably going to walk most of the rest of the way. I'd even turned Chinese, apparently. I thought I was well prepared, but for some reason it was just a tougher run than the previous ones. Maybe I'd started off too fast. I was absolutely shattered. I said to myself, I'm just going to walk for a bit, but I knew deep down that I had a long way ahead of me. I had no chance of achieving anything like a decent time. And then I heard a voice shout at me from the crowd. Now, it was a big crowd, but it was a massive voice. You can get a list of all the runners' names, and this guy clearly had one. And he saw me struggling, and he could see my number on my chest. He checked it against his list, and he said, "Come on, number 8774. Come on, Bob Crowther, keep going, mate. You can do it." I had not got a clue who this person was, but I remember him to this day, and I've actually referred to him before in this church, a massive West Indian guy with a big Rasta hat, probably hiding the biggest dreadlocks in London. And his voice called out to me at a time that I really needed encouragement. And I was encouraged. And I kept going. And in my time of struggle, in my time of physical and mental exhaustion, he called out to me. And I started running again. And every time I thought of stopping and walking, I thought again of him. And I kept going. And I did not stop again until I crossed the finishing line. To paraphrase St. Paul's analogy from his letter to the Corinthians, I ran the race until I got to the finishing line. That unknown man got me across my Jordan. And we can find encouragement from time with friends and certainly from time with God. So invite God to be your companion on your journey. If you're struggling with anything, then pass it to God. Speak with him in prayer and ask for his help, his guidance, his encouragement. Perhaps discuss things with close friends. Ask them to pray with you. Ask them also to support you through their own prayer life. When you walk with God, you are never alone. And we have so many people here that can support you. Never be afraid to sit with someone and ask for their help. So I'll close with a summary, just to look at what points we've learnt today. And firstly, again, Mark, that's it. God has a plan, and you're part of it. Spend some time with him. Spend time with others. Make sure you know what that plan is. And when you know the plan, keep checking your map to make sure you're still on track. And if you think God's plan is too big or the river's too wide to cross, then lean on him. Lean on your friends. Whatever the obstacle is that you face, God will give you the courage and the strength to overcome it. Prepare yourselves for your journey with God. Let Jesus Christ be your guide. Strengthen and sustain yourself by feasting on God's word and receive his counsel through prayer. And finally, friends, we are the church. 24/7. You should never feel alone. Consider sharing your faith with others. Ensure that you have the biggest support team behind you. With such a team supporting you and with God at your side and with Christ as your guide, how can you ever fail to keep to the path of righteousness, to finish your journey, to reach your destination and to rest with God and his angels for eternity? Let's pray. Father, we cannot cross the Jordan unless you show us the way. We cannot complete our journey unless your Spirit stands beside us to guide us to the end. Lord, help us to keep referring to our map, to keep asking our guide if we're still on track, and to give us the strength and encouragement to keep going and to complete our journey into your welcoming arms. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.